often in marketing and all of the offers and everything, we're trying to cast a vision of why our thing is the thing. And what I think we did is we said, this is why this thing is what you need, and it's going to serve you and help you and do all this thing, and it will be better for you, not for us. And however we did that at the time, people were like, yo, I'm in. Like, let's go.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to season two of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. Really excited to have this guest on with me today and the expertise behind, in fact, we're just saying this, right behind what he does. I don't think it's a common thing that has been brought in or represented really ever. And so this is a fun, anyway, really stoked to have you. Welcome to the show, Chaz.
Hey, honored to be with you, man. Thanks for the invite. Super excited.
Yeah. I'm really pumped to have you. This is, I know that we've kind of been in the same kind of circles, but I don't think really had a chance to actually sit down and chat until we were in Mexico.
Yeah.
Across from each other eating sashimi.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I remember it was all, and it was like 100 degrees in there. And so I remember us saying like, is this a smart move to be eating raw fish when it's like 100 degrees out here? It was like warm. It was not, it was not that great.
It wasn't the very next day we found out like the water wasn't totally clean and everyone got sick or something. Like,
yeah. It was crazy.
Anyway, good times.
But we had a great conversation nonetheless. Yeah. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. The conversation rocked. I had a lot of fun. Left an imprint on me. I went back to some of the notes of what you were saying. And I was just like, man, that was really, really cool. So I'm excited to have you on here. And just for the sake of people on, do you mind kind of sharing what you do and how you got started in it?
Yeah, just I'll give the really abbreviated version. I remember doing that one time when somebody's like, well, in second grade, I started like, no, the abbreviated
one. So, day I was conceived.
Yes. Basically back in 2009 and 10, I owned a bunch of real estate franchises and, the market kind of went crazy. And I had this idea that I had grown all of them through connections and networks and relationships. Mm. Like, because even back then, there wasn't the Facebook really. I mean, you could, but it was just, not as big a thing. Google, yes. But so the digital marketing space wasn't as quite as like craziness as it is today. And and if it was there, I wasn't aware of it the way it is today. So I had built everything through word of mouth, networking, referrals. And when the business sort of constricted and really was coming in, I decided to sell my ownership. And I had just started my own networking kind of collective community to try to help that real estate company, mortgage and title that we owned, really survive and thrive. But the way we built it grew so fast that I kind of looked at I would just call him partner at the time because we didn't really know what we were doing. And I was like, I think this is a business and I might need to like completely cut all this, sell this thing and jump into this. And so I did and didn't really look back. That was in 2011. And, here we are and we've built this community nationwide. Now we're getting in other parts of the world. Wow. And it's been a crazy ride for the last decade.
That's amazing. And just for so everyone knows the name of what you're doing.
Master Networks is the company that we built. And really it's interesting, because like when you start something and you're going to name it, I wish I had like given, I love the name. It's not that. It's just, it's I hadn't name, given yeah. a lot of thought. It was really the idea of like getting into mastery and networking. And it was like, well, mastery networking didn't sound like it fit. And so we just kind of like this master network thing. And actually it was the guy who created the logo came back with it as Master Networks. And I was like, oh, I like it. Let's go. Anyway, that's where sure. we are.
Yeah. I look back at some of the names of my offers and I was like, that was dumb, but at least that's a good name. At least that's a good one,
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, so, okay. So you go in, real estate starts crashing. You start, you learn to do a lot of networking and then you build Master Networks. And I was just blown away that the metrics and the things that you guys are doing there. I should have brought my actual notebook from that dinner conversation we had. So could you tell everyone kind of like what it is and what it is that the Master Networks does?
So here's what I want people to think about, because they're like, well, I'm not building a networking thing. How does this really relate to me? But I just want you to understand something that, and even been involved in you know, some great marketing masterminds, and people always say, you know, I want continuity in my business. Right. And maybe I'll dive into this a little bit now, but I want continuity in my business. Well, we all do. Right. And that's what we have. Everything from day one has been recurring revenue every single month. It's a monthly membership. And we organize people into this little networking community, and then we give them business education, and they share ideas, mastermind, and share referrals with each other. And then we have all these technology things that support it, and track and leaderboards and all that stuff, an app that connects every little community to one bigger community, right? So a lot of them are local to their own, like maybe in Boise or San Antonio or Dallas or wherever they are. And then they're plugged into the bigger community where things are mastermind and shared up there. So think of it like really macro, really micro, like we can get both. And so the idea is that we created this community. And I think sometimes people in marketing, when I've spoken at conferences and other things, they go, yeah, I want continuity. So I've built this membership thing. And I'm like, and then when I ask them about it, everything they're telling me is that they really want a community, but they're building it like a membership. And I think those are two different things at times.
Totally. That's
Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I've run into the same thing where people are like, oh, I want to go have continuity. So let me drip out my course that was once a one-off. I'm going to drip it out across a year, which to me, first off, would be very annoying. And I think the way a lot of infopreneurs are trying to answer the continuity question now is by just doing that. But what they're really needing to do is more like lines of what you're doing, which is, so have you separated those two out?
So it's interesting. And I, you know, sometimes when you do something so much, you don't realize, like, because it comes natural to you. Like, you said some things to me at dinner and I was like, no, like, we need to like just swap, because right, the challenges that I'm up against, you've mastered. And I think some of the things you're challenged with, I've really, you know, come to mastery. And
totally.
And so I said something recently in an interview and the guy like dug into it. So I'm going to just say it this way. I think what we figured out was the mindset really is different in the approach, that in memberships, often they're very linear, right? It's like you just said, drip it out, right? It's this course to this section, to this thing, to this thing. And you're, and funnels are built that way too. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like in community, like in a membership, the product becomes the central thing and you're trying to drive people to this membership product. In community, the member is the central figure and then everything supports them. And it's a different approach, right? It's a different thing. And so like, if you look at different communities or masterminds, the person is at the center and it's, how do I add value to that person and the things that they want to accomplish? So it becomes more impactful than more. One of the things I teach is a person of interest versus a person of impact. And I think sometimes memberships are a person of interest. It's like, look at me, I'm interesting, come buy my thing. Where a community is about impact, and it's like, No. I'm going to be very interested in you and your success. And here's all the tools and things. I'm going to put you at the center of it. And then I'm going to help you connect with other people and invite people in. And it becomes more of a community thing than a membership only.
Wow. So I'm assuming that there's an aspect of that you're able to think about ahead of time in terms of what you're designing. But I got to imagine there's a lot of that is discovered with the first crew kind of as they come in. They're kind of guiding
all the time
throughout the whole creation.
Here's what feels scary, I think, for most business owners and people when they're building community, is it's very fluid, because like the person's at the center, right? So as things change, as context, as economy, their things change, trends, it kind of moves. And so that makes it like, whereas I can't hold on to it, but that's the power of a community, is because if you let it move and you're not trying to like constrict it, and I know this feels very like ambiguous, but I'm trying to give it in a generalized statement to kind of fit what everyone does. But if like, if you let it move that way, it can be very successful. We've learned a lot. In fact, we're constantly reiterating the values that we give to what people are giving us feedback on. And that's the cool part about community, is if you do it right, they give you the feedback and say, this is what I need. You know,
so you're always providing. Powerful. Yeah, because then you're not needing to be this creative genius that comes off the mountain with this perfected, you know, let me unveil this. Then you're like, actually, they're going to kind of grab you and guide you if you're willing to be fluid. I like that. I mean, even down to the values and what you're shifting around with this.
Can I just dig on one thing you just said, though?
Yeah.
Because in the early days, that was what I thought, too. And in fact, I'd even had mentors and coaches teaching me that. The problem that I developed, that I learned, that developed from that was, when I came down from the mountaintop with the thing and said, here it is, it's amazing, right? It created one of two potential problems. One is, it was either so amazing that it became so crazy that people were like, I can't do that thing. Like, it's so amazing that there's just no way I can implement it. Or it was too simple and they're like, really? You're not that smart. Like, if this is the thing you're saying is so amazing, it's not that hard, which is what you want people to like to do it. And so that was a problem I was always bumping against. It was either too difficult or too easy, if you will. And then people didn't see that as valuable. So I realized that it's not about the thing I brought down from the mountain. It's about how do I gather the collective to work together towards a goal. And that was the change we made.
That's interesting because the market will always guide you in the creation. I think of it as like, I like that you brought that up because it's like, you can build a product that is too blue, way too blue, yeah. Even though it's totally innovative and it's completely like no one's seen it before, but there's actually, and college taught me the same thing, that there's risk in that. It's actually, go make these things no one's seen, but that's like the scariest thing on the planet. You're almost safer building just a better mousetrap at that point. But
right.
Which you're talking about building a community and then they guide you in the creation of what's delivered inside of it. So it's a co-creative experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're paying you at the same time to like go create the thing that they're asking for. That's what's really fun about it. And then we've built it in a structure where I think what you want to do is in community. One of the values that I teach, and I'll share it at your conference, is it's about the organizational structure, because the way you structure your community is really important, because you need, Seth Godin talks about it, and just in a really high level term, he talks about how the leader needs to be able to communicate with the tribe. He talks about this in tribes, I think it is. The leader needs to be able to communicate with the tribe. The tribe needs to be able to communicate with the leader. And then the tribe needs to be able to communicate with each other. And often communities aren't set up with those. They maybe have one of those three, right? And so if you can set it up so it's organized where all three of those things can happen inside your community, it really takes its own life and people will invite others into it. So organization was the point. It's organization's really key.
Picking notes here. That's awesome. Because it seems like there's, and I think that's going to be a big shift that we start to see with what everything that's going on with more of a focus on continuity is, I think in the past, and I know I'm totally talking in stereotypes and someone watching, listening to this, I'm not, whatever, but there's going to be that shift from just being a group.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is the group that's attached to the product that you can go chat in, bridging the gap from just being really just a place to ask questions versus an actual community. And that's a different thing to build altogether. Very different. So you just said as well, though, I'm taking a bunch of notes. So that's why I'm looking down.
It's okay.
A lot,
but it's all good.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. I love it. You just said that, so you're co-creating the experience with the community, which obviously kind of begs a chicken and egg question. Mm-hmm. How did you kickstart from the beginning? How did you get the first paying members to help?
So funny. Thanks.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role,
whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
For the question, because it's so funny, like when I remember the, you know, just like anything, I was like, I had an idea and I thought, here's the 10 people I'm going to call right now. And if like, they think it's a great idea, I might be onto something. Right. And I remember calling this lady and I was like, I want to get people in person. Cause again, Zoom wasn't really a thing. We didn't. So, okay. She had a location. I could meet some people. I invited 10 people. I don't know what they thought it was. I don't really think I told them. So anyway, the lady who's, it's her venue. She had the door unlocked. I go in, it's a small little office suite. And so we're in there. There's about 12 people, I think 12, 14 people. And she's not there. She's like late. So I'm sitting around. I'm like, I'm just going to start. Like it's, you know, it's my meeting, if you will, my thing. So I start, but to give you context, like the door is to my left. So like when she comes in, you can't like, it's going to interrupt. Right. So she opens the door. I'm 10 minutes into this idea. She doesn't say anything other than like, she goes, I'm here. And I'm like, okay. And then she looks at me and she says, I don't know what you're going to talk about or pitch today, but you're not getting any of my money. Just right up front. I'm just telling everybody you're not getting any of my money.
That's and the worst.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. I just like, I have thoughts in my head that are not good. I shouldn't say out loud. Like I want to just like, kick you out of your own place. But the irony is she bought one of our first territories when we sold territories. So we did get her money, but you know, it was just a matter of getting people in and taking a vision of something and transferring it to them to see. And I think this was key, not knowing I was doing it at the time. And this is where I'd have your audience think about this is often in marketing and all of the offers and everything, we're trying to cast a vision of why our thing is the thing. If that, why the thing, right?
Yeah.
And what I think we did is we said, this is why this thing is what you need. And it's going to serve you and help you and do all this thing. And it will be better for you, not for us. And however we did that at the time, people were like, yo, I'm in, like, let's go. And I want to say 10 of the 12 or 14 people we had immediately said, I don't know what it looks like. I just trust you. This feels good. Let's get this thing going. And we started the first little group community and we met every week and we built on it and we just started going and going. And you know, we made a lot of mistakes, tons of mistakes, still do. But it just started with 8 or 10. I always say this, and I'll probably say it at your event. The greatest movement of all time, because I don't believe this is just a community. We're building a movement of entrepreneurs inside of our community. The greatest movement of all time was 3 words. Come follow me, right? Jesus said it. And he only needed 12. He didn't need 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 to get going. And I think that's the mistake that people make. They see a community, they see somebody like me or someone else, and they go, a Brendan Burchard or a Russell Brunson. They go, oh my gosh, they have all these tens of thousands of followers. They didn't start that way, I promise you. Yeah. Right? They start with 3, 4, 5, and so can you, and it can grow really fast.
That's a great, great point. Really great point. Cause there's always, I mean, it does start exactly like that. Now, I mean, you know, I have to ask one part of this as well, because it's almost like when you talk to entrepreneurs about networking, there can be a feeling of like, it's almost like an identity thing. People will say, I am good at this, or I am not good at this. And yeah, it's tied all the way back to an I am statement. It's like, but really, I mean, every major thing that's ever happened for me has always been due to networking and just getting to know other people and such. How are you? I'm sure that is a barrier to cross with people.
For sure.
And I know it might feel a little bit of backwards in the conversation, but how do you help people realize they need networking? Because for me, it's turned into like one of the most major strategic things. And it used to be the most back burner things.
Well, I just want to give you credit, because it's one of the most perceptive questions I've ever been asked. And I mean that sincerely. Like that is so powerful, because it is. And here's the irony is that like people say, well, I'm not extroverted, so this isn't going to work for me. And I'm like, I am so introverted. It's not even funny. Like, it really is the truth. I can speak on stage, but even in Mexico, I'm like walking around. I'm like, hey, hi. You know, like, I have to pay to be in these masterminds because I don't want to go up and just talk to people. And like, it's not
the same. That's why I do it. I'm like, yeah. Someone needs to facilitate this because I will not do it naturally.
Yeah. Like, but yet they see you on stage and you're loud and boisterous and you're exciting and your energy and passion. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that in a smaller setting or a one-on-one, you're going to go up and talk to everybody. I get it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, and I'll share this at the event. I'll give your people this framework, but I have a framework called the Bond Framework. And I promise you, it'll work for an introvert, an extrovert, anybody like brand new in business, fully experienced. I mean, I remember teaching this in a really high level mastermind, and people in the room, like, you know, $1 billion valuations of their company, multi-million-dollar valuations. And I'm like, I don't know, this feels very basic, but it's what I've done for so long. And I remember teaching it, and they're like, Wait, say that again. Like, how, this is how I, they're like, no, you got to understand, we're all like marketing nerds. We need to like figure out how to connect with people. And like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is how you do it. This is how I did it with each of you in the room. And I would give examples and like, he did do that to me. You know, I was like, it gotcha. Also like, I was under your spell. You did this. No. It's very simple. Like, this is how you connect. And I'll give people the Bond Framework to do that.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Appreciate that. Yeah. I'm super excited that you're speaking. Like, this is going to be really powerful. I wanted to ask just one other question with this that I'm sure is, you know, as marketers and business people, the numbers matter, of course. And so you're going to look at things with any continuity, obviously, like how you retain, what's your churn, any ascension, things like that. And I'm sure that I imagine that creating what feels like a true, real community solves 80% of any kind of churn or ascension problem or question naturally. I'm also assuming that you all also learned a bunch of tricks about that, you know, yeah. In increasing, decrease, all those different things. Any tidbit you could share with that in terms of just little insights? Because I'm sorry to keep adding to my own question here, but what I think happens is we have these internet marketing funnel building people who come in and they're blessed with this skill set of acquisition at speed and typically at break even, which is not normal in the rest of the business world. And they put that firepower in front of all these different things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like this messy creation phase. And now everyone's turning to continuity. And so it just makes me think, like, what are you seeing in terms of how the stereotypical internet marketer would answer the churn question?
Yeah.
And you would look at it and go, okay, that seems like it's natural, but that's going to suck. I promise you, I've been down that road. Does that make sense what I'm asking? I worded that really weird and long.
No, I just have so many thoughts. So I'm trying to like give it the most concise. So it's funny.
Because it's all good.
No, it's good. It's funny because you said something and I'm like, I literally have a Voxer this morning. I shared it with some of my team because the superpowers you were just talking about, I don't think I have those. And so I'm like, somebody just left the box. You're like, oh, I did this fun little 3-day challenge. It was small. It was like 300 people on it. And I made $1 million today. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I just don't have that skill. And that's where I was like, you sure. Obviously possess that skill. And I'm like, I need to like figure that out. Okay. But on the back end, the continuity we've played for a long time, you know, multi-millions of recurring revenue. Yeah. I mean, our revenue literally doesn't change per maybe, you know, that's the ups and downs, right? The plus and minus is that it's very consistent. So I don't have the big jumps because I don't have big end offers in it, but I also don't have the typically big drop-offs either. So within $5,000 to $7,000, I know exactly where I'm going to be every month, right? Maybe that sounds like a big window, but we got thousands of people, so it's not. But I think some of the things that seem, and it's hard because maybe I'm bowing out of the question. I hope you don't feel that way, but like, I don't even know what the natural marketer says or thinks in that. So I don't know what they're coming at it from because that's not really the world I've played in. Where I look at the retention and the churn is like, where we have that retention and churn is like, it's actually sometimes it's external factors for other people. They're like, they have something in the economy has changed and their business has shifted. And so they're looking to change. I have found that if we can do a couple of things, our retention is high. One is we have to get them a mutual connection inside our network within the first 30 days. If we can help them facilitate some connection. And so for people who have membership sites only, if you will, and they're not connected to somebody else in it, I don't know how you have long-term retention because people want to be connected, right? You remember the show, remember the show Cheers? I don't know if that dates us, but like the show Cheers, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, Norm walks in the bar. What happens? Everyone's like, Norm, right? And the song is even, some of the chorus is like, where you want to go where everyone knows your name, right? That's what people are longing for. I mean, there's all kinds of statistics right now that show that we're in the biggest digital age and it's the most lonely time of history. People feel the most lonely.
Yeah.
The Surgeon General just put out an 85-page report about the epidemic of loneliness. How's that possible? Huh. And so if we're building membership and we're not connecting people, then we're always going to have a retention challenge. But if you connect them, people will stay. If they have, think about it this way. Think about gyms, right? I just switched gyms and I went to a new gym and they walked me through the whole thing, right? But at the end, of course, they're connecting me to other coaches and things. And then they're like, in this section, we have this class, we have this class over here, we have this class and this class. We're going to give you 30 days of free classes. Why? Because I know if in a class, I make a connection, I meet somebody at the gym, I'm, you know, another lifting buddy, something like that, I'm more likely to stay there, right? Because you make friends at the gym. That's, I think, one of the retention things that I think when I'm working with other businesses gets missed, is that connection piece.
That is, I think, the most awesome answer I've ever asked, because that makes sense. That makes sense. Even in the book Tribe, Seth Godin, doesn't he say also that there's never been a time in human history where we've been de-tribing so much? So yeah. Give them that. And that's fascinating, because I think through some of the groups that I've maintained membership in, I'm not really getting that much out of the meat of why you're lured there in the first place, but why I stay is the yep. community and the connection piece. And weirdly enough, that has to be facilitated in our age.
It does. I mean, we're no different than kids. You know, when I moved to Texas, I moved here like 8 years ago, and I remember asking my kids, I was like, you know, starting a new school, like, what are you nervous for? And it was interesting. They're all said lunch. It's like, because, you know, you go to class and you're told you sit here, but you lunch. It's like you pick up your tray. Remember those days? You're like, yeah. You know, you're walking to a table. You're like, I hope they make eye contact. Nope, not me. Okay, great. I'm not sitting at that table, right? Okay, watch the next mastermind you walk in with adults. We are literally no different. Everyone's looking for the person they know when they walk in the room that they can make that connection and go, okay, somebody I know. I don't care if you make millions of dollars or $5. Everyone's the same in that sense. Yeah. And so connection is a key that's being lost, I think, in these, our ability to try to create continuity.
In the connected age, oddly enough. Interesting.
Yep.
Wow. I appreciate it like crazy. I'm really excited to have you speak. This is going to be just a ton of fun. I had so much fun getting to know you. And just anyway, I'm really psyched. I feel like we think very similarly. And anyway, the nerd out sessions are on the horizon. That's all I can feel.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, because again, you have superpowers I need to figure out. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Well, hey, for everyone watching and listening, Chaz is going to be speaking at Offer Launch. He's one of the featured speakers. He's going to come talk about the power of continuity, how to build it, how to install it, and all the things we've been going through now, which is, you know, I mean, 80% of marketers are trying to figure that out. They've never, you're Oz. You've more than cracked it, and excited to have you come speak. It's going to be great.
So, well, I appreciate it, man. It's my honor, my privilege. I just love it. I'm excited to be there and help people build continuity, because it's the path of predictability and stress-free business as best you can is with the continuity. So happy to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, go get your ticket, everyone. Offerlaunch.com, October 26th. And we'll see you guys there. Chaz, thank you so much.
My honor. Thank you.